All right. Good evening and welcome to the Cabazon Water District Regular Board Meeting for August 19th, 2025. It's 6 p.m. Let's all stand for Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And a moment of silence and remembrance for our men, our servicemen and women. Okay. Please be seated.
Roll call, Director Gil Perez.
Here.
Director Melissa Farland.
Here.
Director Alan Davis.
Here.
Board Vice Chair Kathy Brault.
Here.
Board Chair Terry Tincher.
Here.
And General Manager Michael Paul.
Here.
All right. We need an approval for the Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and warrants of July 15, 2025. And the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of July 15, 2025.
I make a motion to accept the minutes of the Finance and Audit Committee and the regular board meeting minutes and warrants from July 15, 2025.
I second.
Okay, motion to approve consent calendar items A and B made by Director Davis and second by Director Perez. Director Perez?
Aye.
Director Carlin?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
Board Vice Chair Brault?
Aye.
And Board Chair Tincher?
Aye. Okay, warrants none, awards of contracts none. Let's move on to new business. First is a discussion action item for rate study update by Water Economics Resources.
Do you want to do an introduction or you want me to go straight ahead?
No, go straight ahead.
All right, Chairman, board members, staff, and public, it's my pleasure to be here. I have a presentation here to talk about the water rate study. We've been working with staff diligently on this process. We're at a point where we want to get your input about this. I have a presentation here. Throughout my presentation, if there's any comments, questions, you have, please interrupt me. This is meant for a discussion item for you to facilitate this rate study process. So definitely I want to hear from you.
Okay.
So don't be shy. I don't think I need to say that, but I am saying it. So for agenda today, we're going to go over the rate study overview. How do we do a rate study? We're going to talk about the proposed financial plan. We're going to talk about the proposed rates, and then of course the impacts to your customers is an important factor in these rate studies. So we want to show you that. And then the discussion and the next steps. So just overview, just to remind ourselves, the board has adopted 5 years of rates. And the last rate study was conducted in 2020, and we're in the last year of that 5 year horizon. And that included a 3% increase each year. Now what we're doing today is looking at the next 5 years. And we're looking at adopting, not today, but this is just a check-in with you, proposing the 5 years that we could potentially look at. There's a process in place where we want to receive your input about that. And then after today's meeting, if the board is okay, you're not voting, but you are providing input to me, because the next major step is writing the report. And that's a big undertaking for us. It is effort and costly. And if there's questions or comments or concerns, I would prefer that we don't write the report, because that saves you money, and wait and get those comments and figure it out and then write the report. But if we're good and we're heading to the right direction, we're going the right path, then I want to hear that and then I want to write the report, because then we can proceed forward.
Makes sense.
Good. So the process of how you do a rate study, the first one is the framework, the policy framework. So we had a kickoff meeting with staff. We talked about the current rate structure. We talked about some changes that we would like to do. There's some new legal environment with Prop 218 and the court cases I'm going to be talking about. So we want to incorporate that. So we want to go over that. Then the steps of a rate study. The first step is a financial plan. A financial plan is about how do you fund your operating and your capital needs. So it's about how much revenue we need on an annual basis to fund that. So it really looks at, do we need to issue debt? No, you do not need to issue debt. But we do ask that question as we go through the process. We look at the capital improvement plans. As you know, there's a lot of capital cost to run a water utility. The next step is what we call cost of service and rate design. Those two steps are very important in a rate study because this is not a tax. This is a fee for service. Because it's a fee for service, there's some legal framework associated with it. We need to have a proportionality. We need to have a logic, a nexus with our rate structure. And so that's what we do with the cost of service and the rate design. We start building the logic and rationality. And the big crux of this report that I was talking about is that it does cover the financial plan, but it really covers the cost of service and the rate design. And that's so important now in today's era where there's a lot of litigious lawsuits. That's our defense. So we want to have a really nice, thorough report done so that hopefully you don't get sued. But if you do get sued, someone will see that thick report and go, nah, I don't really want to sue you. I'll go sue this other agency down the street that has a really flimsy report. And if they do sue you, the judge will be like, well, there's all the logic and rationality here. You're fine. And then you'll be successful. So that's that documentation. Transparency is very important. Defensibility is our key thing here. And that's when we take pride in our work that we do in that area. And then once the report's gotten written, the board would receive that report. We would request that you make that report available to the public, put it on your website, tell everyone about it, ask people to read it. We might have a couple of people who read it. But then it provides an opportunity for that transparency. And then at the rate adoption process, at the public hearing, we can be very clear and honest that we gave everyone an opportunity to provide their input on the report. So Prop 218. So Prop 218 was a voter initiative, and through a series of court cases, the interpretation of Prop 218 has changed. So first, the big one, if you've been in the water industry for a while, was called Bighorn, and that's where water and wastewater was considered a property-related service. Other court cases that are very significant are San Juan Capistrano, and then there's a couple of current ones that I'll be talking about in a second. Again, the logic here is that this is not a tax. Taxes are a form of distribution. It's a form of subsidizing customers. It funds general benefit services like police. This is a specific benefit to property owners. So this is a fee for service. So there needs to be a logic and rationality with the rates. I always say rates can't be arbitrary and capricious. So we need to do this. We need to make sure there's no subsidization occur. Unfortunately, one of the challenges, as we all know, is that some customers are, you know, have financial challenges, financial economic challenges, and we can't use rates to subsidize them. Some enterprises do have other sources of revenue. In our case, it's very hard and limited. So it's very hard to have a lifeline rate, even though we want to. Besides that, there's a procedural requirement, as I mentioned, where we tell customers about the public hearing and give them a 45-day notice about that. They have an opportunity to protest. As long as the majority don't protest, the board can consider it as adoption. So what did we look at? So we went through a financial plan. We made a model in Excel. Staff has a copy of it. We went through a very thorough discussion with staff, so I appreciate that. And we looked at what's the cost. So we took into account some modest residential connection, 10 per year. We took into account O&M expense. We go by line by line item. We look at benefits, energy. We look at labor costs. We look at material costs. That average is around 6% based on that. And one of the challenges with a water enterprise and wastewater too is that these costs are much higher than inflationary costs, because we're dealing with different material sets. With inflationary costs, we usually deal with food products, eggs, oil, you know. In this case, we're dealing with more higher end inflationary costs, benefits, energy, chemical. We also looked at the next 5 years of capital improvement plan. We're assuming $350,000 needed each year with a 4% inflationary increase. And then we're using a baseline projection of 400 acre feet per year. And this shows that acre feet demand that we're projecting out, the green lines that, the dotted lines, the average. You know, one of the challenges is that demand has fluctuated quite significantly. So we're being a bit conservative here. And so if demand is a little bit higher than we anticipate, that's better actually for you, then you'll generate more revenue. And then you could potentially look at potentially lower rate increases in the future. So that benefits your customers. Reserves are important when you're looking at a financial plan. Reserves basically help your customers with rate shocks. So a lot of times customers think, oh, why you have so much money in the bank? Well, actually, it's a benefit. By having that reserve, if something goes wrong, if a pipeline breaks, if there's a cash flow situation, you can dip into your reserves. And then you don't have to suddenly increase customers' rates. So we're looking at 100 days of annual O&M and 6% of net capital assets. Those are very good reserve targets, and we recommend keeping them. So we did a financial plan. What we're recommending is a mild 3% per year. Note, the first year, January 2026, we're suggesting no revenue adjustments. So we're no increase in revenue.
No increase?
No, but, hold on. But then there's a 3% the following year. Now, we are recommending changes in the rate structure. And that's why we recommend not to doing any increase the first year, because there's going to be some winners and losers when we change the rates. As you know, you have three tiers, and I'm going to have a slide on this, and you have a third tier that's very high. We're concerned about that third tier from a legal perspective. Court cases have changed over time, the interpretation have changed, and so we would like to get rid of that third tier. But you do generate revenue in that third tier, so by getting rid of that third tier, some customers will see more of an increase than others. The zero-sum game. So that's why we're recommending no increase the first year, but I want to be very transparent. Some customers will see an increase. Some will see a decrease, because those, especially the high-end water users. And then the following years will be a 3% on top of that. Does that make sense? Okay. So your current rate structure, you have a fixed charge, which is normal by meter size. And you know, as we know, larger the meter, more hydrological capacity, more you can use. You have a sprinkler system, private fire line, which is common for commercial outlet malls. They should pay for that as an additional meter charge there. And then you have a commodity charge. And this is the one that I was talking about earlier, where you have three tiers. And that third tier, $14.45, that's our sort of problem. That's a legacy rate. And it's hard to justify that, especially now with new court cases and interpretation.
So how's it gonna change?
I'm gonna show you that.
Okay.
And I'm gonna show the customer impacts too.
Okay.
Because that's the most important thing. It's like, what does this mean to my customers? But we are recommending changing that. So as I mentioned, there are some new court cases that happen. And the most recent one, this is one that just happened, Kosiak versus Otay. There's another one that just happened last week. Now it's Pats versus San Diego. So there's two new court cases, both very similar ruling, same judge. Basically more burden on the water agency. So you can't have tiers. Tiers are not illegal, I just want to be very clear, but we need to have a clear logic for the tiered rate structure, a proportionality. So when we have one source of supply, as we do here, it gets a little bit challenging, but we do have other sources of revenues that we can use to help justify the tiers. So what our recommendation is that we update the fire service charge. We also recommend slightly change, so that will help with industry standard. We also recommend changing the commodity chain rate from a single tier, three tiers to T tiers with that. And let me show you what that means. So this is what you see right now. So this is the effective, this would be in your Prop 218 notice. These are the 5-year rates of the meter charge. Here's the fire line service charge. And then here is the two tiers now. So it'll be 353 and 844, and then it goes up by 3%. And then non-residential will be 538.
So how bad is that gonna affect the district?
Well, how your customers, right?
Well, and the district itself.
Well, the district is fine, because you'll collect the right amount of revenue with this. So it's a zero-sum game. So in the sense that you're going to collect so much amount of revenue, we just slice the pie differently.
Okay.
So in 2026, you'll collect the same amount of revenue as you did last fiscal year. Then in the next fiscal year, you'll collect 3% each year. Each January, it will increase. And what does that mean to your customers? So this is what shows you the different percentiles. So, you know, when we say 10th percentile, we get all the customers, we line them up in a row from lowest to highest user. So the 10th person, if there's 100 of you, it would be the 10th that uses one CCF. The 25th person uses three. The average is 8, and the 75th is 12. And then if you can see the increases there. Again, this is not increasing any revenue. So the low-end water users, those who use one CCF, will see almost a dollar increase. Those who use the 25th, three CCF, will almost see $3.57. The average person will see $9.37. And then the bit higher end user sees $11.61. So this, again, we're not increasing revenue, we're just changing that, getting rid of that third tier because of the legal risk there.
And back in the olden days, those tiers used to preach conservation, mm-hmm. but they no longer allow tiered rates to preach conservation. So, and that third tier is a little bit out of the normal. So
It's really steep too.
And we're always making adjustments on that because people, when they get a leak and it goes into the third tier, and I tell them to bring back the report that says the leak's been repaired, then we make an adjustment based on the construction rates. Mm-hmm. So we're always making adjustments because that last tiered rate. So that's what we had a meeting about. I was like, that's got to go. That definitely has to go. So
help with the administrative costs.
Yeah.
So the next steps is, if needed, we can refine our analysis. This is an opportunity to hear your input. If we are good, then we would like to proceed with writing the report. The report is a lengthy document. It will be around 50, 60 pages long. It'll be very detailed. It will be tedious. So if you have problems sleeping at night, I highly recommend reading it. It will help you with that. That's an extra bonus. We don't charge for that. It's meant so that if someone has a question, how did you get this number? They can see, there's no black box. You can follow the math. You can follow the budget to the rates. So that's the whole point. The board will receive the report on September 16th. You're not voting on it, you just receive it, and then we would post it, as I mentioned, on your website, have it available to customers. Notices should be mailed out by October 17th. And then we would have the public hearing on December 16th for adoption. And then the regs will be effective January 1st.
2 months after you notify them they're going to have a meeting?
Yeah. And we want 2 months because, thank you for bringing that up. So Prop 218 says 45 days. There's a new assembly bill that's out that suggests 60 days. And that helps it's called the exhaustion of remedies. So it's similar if you're with CEQA or environmental documents. It gives opportunity for people to ask questions, and then we can respond to them. But if you don't ask a question, then you can't sue the district.
So what do? Put a flyer in 2 months worth of bills?
Send the notice out, the Prop 218 notice, and you just say in the Prop 218 notice, if you have any questions or concerns about the rates, please notify us. And then you will respond to them and you make them available. And I would work with your attorney just dot the I's across the T's.
Right.
But the good thing about this one is though is that if nobody asks you any questions, then no one can sue you. You can only sue if you participated in the process. So is there any questions, comments?
In essence, this 3% increase is going to affect the customers.
Yeah, and the out years is 3%. The first year, it's not any...
Right, there's no change.
But there's customers will see some impact because, we collect revenue in Tier 3.
Right.
And so that's going to be gone, so we have to make that up in Tier 1 and 2. So I just want to be very transparent. So what that means is that lower-end, moderate customers will see an increase. And then if you're a very high-end water users, you will see a decrease, right? Because more of your bills...
So it's going to hurt most everybody.
Yes. I mean, 80% of your customers. But we're dealing with this legal liability. And when we say hurt, this is what we... Let's define hurt. So it's a dollar for one HCF. You know what I mean? So, I mean, this is subjective, right?
We're talking about Cabazon, though.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm saying, except you know more than I do.
So let me just make sure that I have this correct. So low-end users, that's the, say, don't use it a lot, conservationists, so they're going to
see a
higher rate?
Modest, a dollar.
Okay. A dollar for an extra 750 gallons.
For the
CCO.
So what do you think?
For the monthly bill each month.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's say your bill's $30 a month on the average. How much is it going to go up?
I would say a dollar. I mean, the average most people's bill, this is $40 right here for if you use one CCF. So that's a very, if you use three CCF.
Most people will see the $3.57.
Yeah. That's what I think too.
So
the average is $8, so it's $60, so $9.
Okay, I see where it's going here.
But this is the challenge, right? Because I'm concerned that if we don't solve this, you have this liability, right, of this high tier.
So basically, you have to remove that top tier. That's got to go away, and then you have to shift everything over because your Edison rates are going up, your insurance rates are going up, and if you don't increase your rates, and staffing, insurance, everything else, it's like we are waiting for grant funding to do capital improvement projects. So we're relying on that. So if we had to basically say that we're only going to operate and not receive grant funding, then you would see a larger increase because of your capital improvement project. So we have it built in that we're using grant funding for capital improvements and only a small portion of what we collect on revenues and capital facilities charges and basic service charges.
Just like anything else, it's going to be the customers that don't understand it, and
they're the ones who are
going to be upset. Yeah. And explain it to them. So maybe you should get some of those cases of water.
you want to do that scenario? I was explaining to him that Golden State Water Company, we would have a case of bottled water, which costs $4.
Yeah.
And then in the back of the room, they would have 750 1-gallon bottles.
Yeah.
And say, this is $4, and that's $4. And then we're like, oh, okay.
Well, I mean, I always say these measurements of units that we use, CCF, which is 748 gallons, is very, not intuitive at all. And I still don't understand why we can't charge in gallons, like 10 gallons. If you charge 10 gallons, then it's like 20 cents, and then you could put 10 gallons out in the lobby, and you empty gallons and milk cartons and just say, you get this for 20 cents.
Right.
It's a very visual,
People need visual
stimulation
when they're looking at something.
Correct. 748.
Numbers don't mean anything.
No.
Yes.
And you can also explain that you're getting 2.5 gallons for a penny.
Yes.
That's the bottom line.
Correct.
2.5 gallons for a penny.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, well, what's the catch?
There's no catch. That's what we're providing for them.
Yeah.
I have a question from a consumer standpoint. So my monthly bill, I just barely go into that second tier because I use a little bit of extra water every month. Okay. With that tier being with that pie being sliced up differently, does that mean that first tier? Does it get a little bit bigger, and I may still wind up within that first tier rate?
Yeah, the first tier price goes up.
I understand the price goes up. I'm talking about units.
Yeah, the units are.
So it'd be a bigger pie.
I have a bigger slice of the pie where I may not go into that second tier every month.
Yeah.
I do.
So the proposed tier for tier one will still stay the same. Will be 0 to 7. And then anything above will be tier two.
Oh, so it's going to be the same amount.
So basically, I'll still be falling into tier two.
Yes.
It's also going to go up.
It's going to cost you more
on that one.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's, and we suggested that because, just to keep it simple. If we're changing the price, let's keep the tier with the same.
Question behind you.
So for 2026 on slide 15, you're saying that, that we're not increasing any prices, but the bills are still increasing here.
Because of the tiers.
Because we're changing the tiers. Mm-hmm. Do we have any projections of what that looks like for like 2028, 2029?
Yes, yeah, so and then out years after that, it'll be a 3% increase.
Yeah.
So what?
Along with the tiers.
But exponentially a 3% increase.
Yeah, each year is 3%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, 3 years for 4 years. You know, at, you know, 4 times 3 is 12. It's like 50. At the end, it's like 15% more. I mean, 3% a year in my world. You know, I do a lot of these studies. Maybe too many. 3% is unheard of. Most of the time, I'm working with agencies. It's like 10-15%.
Beaumont just did what, 17?
Yeah.
Because they hadn't done one in a long time.
Yeah.
I just lost my other question. So we, if tiers are illegal, why are we still doing the two tiers?
No, I didn't say it's illegal. It's just the justification
of that. It's always the third tier that's being.
Yeah. It, how do you justify that $14?
The $14.45 tier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, but the water doesn't cost more, right?
It was just to preach conservation and
less
wear and tear on our equipment.
You went past it.
Yeah. So, yeah, right over here. Is there any other questions?
So, for the two tiers, I know you said you still have to justify it.
Yeah.
It's because you're using more water, so you're putting more wear and tear on the equipment. Is that?
We're using the, so you do get some revenue offsets, like non-rate revenue, and we're using that in tier one. So you get some modest property tax and some other sources of revenue.
Right, right.
And so I do understand that we do need to raise the price because everything is costing more, a lot more every year. Materials, labor.
Edison.
Edison, gas, I mean, everything that we use to produce water for the public costs more.
Yes.
So we do have to have a rate increase. 3% doesn't seem like a lot. I just don't know about the way it's getting done here.
Because we are a very low income area, and even though 3% sounds small to somebody that's barely able to pay their water bill now, it's a lot.
Yes, they're gonna have a more to say.
Another question.
They won't understand it.
Okay. For the 75th percentile, so people who are using over the 15 in that third tier, they're actually gonna see a reduction in their bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Is there any possibility of upping what James was talking about, like the
piece of the pie?
The piece of the pie. Instead of being 0 to 7, could that be 0 to...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that does to the numbers or if that's something...
That doesn't solve the tier 3.
Yeah, no. If tier 3 goes away, could tier 1 be a little bit bigger? If it's going... I don't know.
The bigger piece of the pie so that those low-income customers aren't...
Can use more. But the national average is, I can't remember what it is, 180 gallons a day per person.
So it doesn't, I mean...
Well, what is just $1? It's $1 a month, I mean.
So right now, tier 1, 0 to 7, right? And if we increase the tier width of tier one, just how it's gonna work mathematically, it will increase the price of tier one. So if the width goes bigger, the price is gonna go up. And the reason why is because we only have so much property tax. Do you recall how much property tax
124.
124. So you only have so much property tax. We're putting that all on tier one, 7 units. So if we have more water, then there's less property tax to lower the rate.
Gotcha.
So if you increase the tier, it's actually, so the question is do you care? And your average customer uses 8. So that's pretty close to 7. You know, you see what I'm getting at. So, yeah.
I feel like the shopping center, their water would go down for something, or
no,
like
the shopping
ranches or something, but the regular
they're
people.
They're on a commercial rate, so they're basically.
They're actually going up. Because the commercial rate is currently 537, and now it'll be 538, and then the fixed charges are going up a bit higher for them.
Yeah, that's what Sarah was saying. Will you charge them more?
Yeah, you can't just arbitrarily charge them more. That's the, remember, that's the whole thing about Prop 218. So we've looked at it, we've come up with a logic about how much to charge them. So they are paying more under this scenario. I just want to make sure we all understand that. What is the average meter size for the mall?
For the mall, it's the 10-inch.
10-inch.
Not average.
10-inch. And so, yeah.
The district's finally at a spot where it's making money.
Yeah.
We can't turn it around and start losing money.
Right, isn't it?
Because
but
the cost of living is going up and we're not going up with it.
Exactly. And so the hard part is going to be the consumer base, because they're the ones that are going to see it differently and not understand it and complain about it.
But in reality,
so to try to explain
well,
to them,
they could live in Beaumont and have a 17% increase.
Yes, yeah, so maybe make those comparisons if we do get the proposal.
Well, I mean,
or something like that.
Beaumont hasn't had one in a long time, but it could be worse.
Yes. Yes.
It's a very mild
yes.
percentage increase.
I'm not complaining about it. I'm saying I understand it.
No, I know. I know. I'm just
community members.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate.
The residents, it will be hard to explain.
And
to
I know them. Sarah fought so hard about the rate increases on the last go around.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, if I may, that this is the max amount that you could go
mm-hmm.
up every year.
Correct.
You do not have to go up those incremental 3% every year. You cannot go above that. Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's a great point. So as
it's a
you
5-year plan.
But we
it's
need to we need to like Terry said, you know.
Yeah, I mean we can't I don't see the economy leveling off.
Because we built up our reserves, people use water and cost more to produce water, so there has to be a minor adjustment.
And
so this is
so
a pretty I mean, I'm not a resident here, but rates go up in every district. Water, electricity, so.
I think the tariffs are doing it all.
Where does this put our reserves in 5 years if we go with this?
Yes, the reserves are shown right over here. So we maintain basically our reserves.
So it stays the same?
Yeah, it increased slightly.
Just slightly?
Yeah.
Yeah, excuse me. You know, like Sarah was saying, you know, we don't have to go over 3%. Why can't we just do it a different way, you know, 1, 2, 3, or 3, 2, 1?
Yeah, if the board
I mean,
wants...
you know, I don't know, I'm just throwing stuff out there for
right.
everybody, I don't know.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can it fluctuate, or does it have to be set in stone?
It should be set in stone for the Prop 218 notice.
Okay.
So 3% is a good strategy in the sense that's the maximum, and then the board could decide to do something lower. So you could decide in that year not to do any.
So for what the customers would see, would the wording be something like up to 3%, or it's just going to say 3%?
I would talk to your attorney. I'm not sure what the Prop 218 is. You're asking a very specific question.
If it should say shall, then shall, there's no leeway. When they say shall increase 3%, that's a legal term where you can't budge.
Yeah.
Many agencies, the interpretation of Prop, when you put in a notice, you can always implement lower. There's what you adopt and what you implement.
So shall not exceed.
Yeah, shall not, yes.
Shall not exceed 3%. And then, of course, based on what the board agrees upon, if it says shall not exceed 3%, and for some reason, if you guys are doing well financially, I guess maybe you can do maybe
2 3/4
an annual mm-hmm. adjustment.
Well, that's what I just asked. Can we adjust it?
You can always lower it.
Well, that's what I asked.
Well, when you say fluctuate, I meant like... You
no,
can't
I don't mean
higher.
Go up and down. I mean, can we lower it?
Yes.
If we wanted to?
Yes.
Can we set it at 3 and then drop it to 2 if we're doing okay?
So so in the Prop 218 notice, doesn't show 3%. It would show this table.
Okay.
And so then what we're saying is the first year, January 2026, you would adopt these would be implemented. Then in January 2027. You don't have to do 38.29. You can just keep 37.17. But you would do that for everyone. Everyone would have to, you know, everyone in 2027. You just keep the same rates.
Yeah, you can't do 38.29, but keep 51.90. Like,
you can't mix and match. No, it has to be. And you could do. You know, these are. It's a percent. It's 3%. So you could do 2% or 1%.
That might not be a bad idea.
That's what I was thinking, you know?
I think that'll work.
Start low or something. You know?
Yeah.
Go up.
But the Prop 218 will have this, and then you can decide. You would adopt this, then you would implement something lower. So it creates flexibility in the system.
Yeah.
Because every year you guys vote on it.
Flexibility is good.
What does the accountant say we need in reserves? Because I know when we did this 10 years ago, we hit it hard. You were on the board. We hit it hard. I fought back.
Uh-huh.
And they said, we need to do this so that we can get $1 million in the bank. Yeah. And we finally got $1 million in the bank, and I fought to get the rates at a different commodity rate. Right? That's why our tiers are so high, is because it's fixed, that percentage of fixed versus... So now we did it again, and then we got to 2 the second time. Now we're at... What is the, how much do we need in reserves? What's the accountant say?
So, the reserve target, you are above your reserve targets.
180 days.
Yeah. So this is the line here, is the dotted line is your reserve target, and these are your ending balances.
I think his bottom line is the percentage going to keep us above the reserve that we're at?
Yes.
Or is it going to possibly drop if we don't maintain it at that 3%?
It won't. It will slightly increase it.
Right. Okay. All
right. So I think we should propose it at the 3%, and then we can adjust it
based on
the year and how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to adjust it on the budget.
Yep.
As long as it doesn't exceed the 3%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would work.
As long as your statements are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, because that is.
As long as we keep the reserves where they're at.
Right.
And that's why I asked if it would, impact it if.
If we start losing our reserves, then we have to, maintain it.
But considering that if we do stay at that 3% in order to maintain the reserves, I think it would be fine.
Do we need an action item tonight?
No, I don't think we need an action item. I'm just letting you know that if you're okay, we're going to proceed with writing the report. And as I mentioned, the report is a time consuming. It is a big part of our budget.
Right.
Because it's very detailed and tedious. So just from a cost effectiveness perspective, you don't want me to write it again. You know, you want me, like, so if like, yep, this looks good, proceed forward and we'll write the report. And then, you know, we're setting the stage.
So you need each one of us to agree on it?
I don't need you, I don't need a vote.
Okay.
Let's just say, if you have a concern, please tell me now, because we're going to write the report.
Write the report, it's got to go out for public notice. And
right.
Yeah.
I think we should write the report and move forward.
Okay.
Yes.
I think we should lower it to 2%.
I think we
should.
We got
to leave it at the
3%. We would have the opportunity.
To start out, 2% on 26, 27.
Well, there is no rate increase next year.
No, for the year after, I wanted to go to 2%.
We can adjust it later on.
Right.
We have the option to.
Yeah, we can adjust it. This is just the report.
It's just the report. It's just to get it started.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That was the big concern.
I'm just looking out for the customer. And like what you were saying, you know, they're going to bitch about it.
Yes.
Didn't they, Sarah?
They're going to
bitch about it, you know.
At the same time.
They're going to bitch about it no matter what we do.
No matter what we do.
Anything that changes, they're going to bitch about.
The cost increase.
Then let's don't change. Let's don't have no raises.
That we're.
Just give it to them free.
Let's don't have no raises.
If they don't have water coming out of their tap, then they're going to complain.
Yeah.
They're going to
complain if they don't have water coming out of their tap.
So one of the things, you know, I've worked for 150 different agencies in California. And one of the things that I've seen quite common is that out of the interest of the public, we don't do a rate increase or do something really, really, really mild or 1%, you know. And, you know, you're healthy, things are looking good. But what happens is that it creates this mentality of, oh, let's not do it again, let's not do it again, let's not do it again. And inflation happens every year. And then after 5 or 6 years, now we're looking at a 25% increase. And if we just did 2% or 3%, you know.
You're looking at Beaumont with 17%,
yeah.
Everybody's screaming.
Correct. So that's why, you know, if you said 2%, that's fine. 3%, that's fine. Yeah. I suggest 3% because it creates a little bit more flexibility if something goes wrong. You have a pipe that you need to fix. You don't have the grant money coming in. Then you can just fix it.
So that 3% is going to be like $10 more a month?
No, it's going to be like 2.
No.
Well, let's just, I mean.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 3%.
Oh, yeah, let's go with it. I changed my mind now.
It's like
I mean, 3%.
It's $1 in the lower one.
It's seven. It's $2.
Yeah.
Because that and $70.32, right? $2.10.
Okay, I'm sorry. I my mind is somewhere else. Okay.
No problem. But
no,
but
not,
if I but so you're in a good financial situation. Most water agencies would be envious of you. And technically, yes, you cannot. You don't need to do a rate increase. Right? You could say, hey, let's skip the next 5 years. Now, would that be beneficial for your customers and for this community in the long run? No. Because what's going to happen is that's going to sneak up, and then you're going to have to do a 25% increase or a 30% increase. And then that's really ugly.
So it's best to go gradually.
It's best. I say this all the time.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised how little people listen to me.
Right. even if after 2028, 2029, it goes up to 5%, that's still better than, like Terry says, go up, you know, 15-17% or 20%.
At one time, I was the sticker price.
That's how you get, because people then get really pissed off, because then they're like, why didn't you do a mild increase? People then question, oh, you must not know what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's.
And then, if you can't figure out this, then how do you supply me water? How do you, the trust and credibility is all of a sudden gone. Right. So to me, it's better to do something mild. The most of this impact is getting rid of that tier three. I just want to, you know, that is the.
To meet the Prop 218.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And of course, we went with a firm that has a strong track record, so he can provide the best case scenario for our districts.
So, yeah. I say move forward with your report.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go ahead, bud.
All right. Thank you.
I know you're waiting for my review. I'm just joking.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to close this then?
Oh, yeah, you can close it.
All right, we're going to move on?
Ready to move on? Hey, can we move on?
Oh, no, I'm good. Tammy's good. I didn't know how long the registration was.
Good?
Okay.
You good?
Yeah.
Okay, number two is discussion action item for 2018 Ford F-350. Continue to finance for 60 months at 10.59% APR or pay it off.
Okay.
Michael, you want to tell us what's going on?
Yeah, let me tell you what's going on here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Uh-huh.
I'll see you in December.
Okay. Hey.
Okay. So tab two, we sold our vehicle. I got some little side notes here. So we had a 2022 Ford that we sold for $38,000. The payoff on that was $30,000. So basically we gained $8,000. The other thing to remember is that we changed accounting firms. We budgeted for the previous accounting firm at $55,000. We went with a new accounting firm at $35,000. So basically we're saving $20,000 a year. We gained $8,000 a year, so that's $28,000. The vehicle that we purchased is $30,000. That's what the loan is. The loan is $30,000 at 10.5%. Well, we're earning 4.3% on our money. So do we want to make this monthly payment of $640? $649 at 10.5%.
It's going to cost $9,000 to do that over the period of the loan.
Right. Or do we want to pay it off now?
I would say pay it off.
I say pay it off.
I say pay it off.
Yeah, it's probably the best move for us. Long, you know, I know it's going to just a little dip. We're doing okay financially, but I think in the long run, like I said, we're saving $20,000. We gained $8,028. Just add another two, and then because we were going to cut a check for our first payment, so we thought we'd bring it to the board and get your approval just to go ahead and pay that off.
I make a motion to pay it off.
Okay.
I second.
I heard Carlin. So, motion to pay off the 2018 Ford F-350 made by Director Brock and seconded by Director Carlin. Director Perez?
Aye.
Director Carlin?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
Board Vice Chair Brock?
Aye.
And Board Chair Ginger?
Aye. Okay. Old business.
Hold on.
Discussion updates. Discussion updates with SGPWA Director.
Here we go.
Hello.
Ta-da!
Ah, just so you know, I've seen him do Cala Mesas, Beaumont's all in a day. He's going to do the agencies, so.
But he's tired.
Yeah. Following around.
And I'll be at the 218 meeting as the member of the public. So let's see, with the agency, we are doing another USGS drill. We're doing number 3, it's the second one, so P3. It's up on the Banning Bench when you're going up Sunset, and so it's drilling there, and it's trying to get boundaries of the different basins, and so it's getting more tests for that. We also did get approval from county to do a 7th helihydrant. That's going to be up on the Banning Bench. So 2 here, the 2 up in High Valley. I'm going up there tomorrow, so I don't know if they're completed, but they're close to completion up in High Valley. So hopefully we get those going. And on a side note, I know some of you are on the Mac with the Cabazon EIFD, if anybody's been getting those mailers coming out. Scott Bruckner, the man who's in charge of getting all those and giving us all the presentations, he's going up to High Valley tomorrow to kind of make sure he's getting their input on those, because they've gotten no complaints yet publicly on that. So that moves forward. I think that's about it for Cabazon. Any questions for me?
Yeah. How did the Sunset well go? I know they only brought 780 feet of column pipe. Did they hit water?
They hit water at 500 feet.
Okay.
510 feet. It's really cool if we talk to Lance, maybe Lance can put out the invitation, because I knew you had the invitation to go out there and look. Yeah. But they have a box, and you get to see this box, and it's the coolest thing. And so every 10 feet, they pull out a mud sample, and so you get to see the mud like 1,000 feet down if they're going 1,000 feet. So it's just kind of neat to just see the different, you know, this is holding water, this isn't. But they drilled that one 720 feet is where they ended on that one,
right.
And they hit water at 500.
Okay.
So.
For the other drilling, is that going to be open for people to go to?
I think the next one's going to be on, like, in front of AutoZone and Banning on Ramsey.
In an island.
Yeah.
In the center island.
Over there in front of.
Yeah, so we're going to shut down all of them. We're going to close off Ramsey, I guess, to make sure that happens.
It's going
to
be in front of Harbor Freight.
Yeah, right in front of Harbor Freight. And then the next one's going in the Banning Canyon. So I know that they're also working on the GSA for the 5-year update for the GSA. So they're getting that working on.
Awesome.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Community involvement.
None at this time.
Darn community. Nothing going on. Updates. Uh-oh.
Here we go. We got good news. Nothing but good news here, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
So on July 22nd, we went to that EIFD outreach meeting. Over here at the community center. I think they had one in the afternoon and they had one in the evening. So I attended that, and for some reason, the Channel 3 News wanted to conduct an interview with me. So they just basically asked what the benefits were going to be to the Cabazon community. Basically, it was going to help with our enhanced infrastructure financing, because grant funding is kind of in limbo right now. So I said it's going to be very helpful, very useful, and yeah, so it was on Channel 3. I don't know why they chose me when I had the
lovely
camera.
I saw the camera. I saw the camera.
She ran.
Smart girl. They could have had a better interview, but anyways, it went well, and we're looking forward for that opportunity. And I think they have another staff meeting on the 24th.
The 20th.
26th.
Yeah, 26th.
The 26th, so 2 o'clock on the 20th, sorry, then 26th at 2 o'clock in Riverside
right.
is the meeting.
Right.
And then I believe at 6 o'clock is an input meeting here. I have
yeah.
to check with Scott.
Yeah, I have both flyers, so
yeah.
I was going to attend both.
Yeah.
No, there's one here in
in Canada.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
Canada.
That's 6
Tuesday.
O'clock.
Yeah,
right,
but that's
right.
after
the one in
Riverside.
In Riverside.
Yeah, yeah.
So confusing.
So we'll see how that goes. So that's all I have to say on that one. And of course, everybody's excited about the new Well 2 building, that the construction started on August 4th. And I think the picture is just of the framework, and I think that was taken last week. Well, they have all the skin up. Basically, they're framing the doors. So it should be done by the end of this week. They should have all the doors, roll-ups, everything. So by the next meeting, if you guys want to do a little field trip and go take a look at it. And
cool.
We've been waiting for it for a long time. I know we had some permitting issues we had to overcome, but all is going well. And I did have a conversation. I had a contractor call me for, he was a developer, regarding a 20-acre parcel on the corner of Benita and Broadway for the potential of a 30-home project. So growth is coming. I've got a lot of contractors contacting me. Haven't heard anything from previous contractors. I know they were talking about putting a 90-unit complex right by the fire department. Another 75 over there on Orange and Benita. And then there was another unit that was going to go on off of Esperanza. So, but haven't heard anything from them. So just a bunch of inquiries. I know that whole process takes a long time with permitting and environmental impact studies and all those things. So, but growth is coming. The property on the corner of Apache Trail in Benita is being developed for a regional food delivery service. So they're going to be parking their vehicles there at this time. And he's applying for all the utilities, and then eventually he's going to build like an admin building there to...
I really thought they would have put a bigger fence.
Me too, I was just like, tweakers are going to be jumping that. That's a residential fence,
that's not a commercial fence.
Yeah, that was just, you can reach over and open the trailers.
Yeah, that was, that wasn't a good idea, but, and, of course, we already discussed the Cabazon Water District purchasing the new vehicle. It has a pipe rack, there's pictures of it here, it has a pipe rack, had 97,000 miles on it. And also we had a chemical spray in the back, which is valued at about $4,500. This truck was formerly a pesticide company truck. So they just left it in the back there, and we gained that, so we use that for weed abatement.
Nice.
So we gained on that. And just a little side note for future vehicles, the Ford Fiesta has 97,000 miles on it. And we do have a work truck. The Tundra has 171,000 miles on it. So just to keep that in the back of your mind for future vehicle replacements. The Fiesta, I know that was intended to be a meter reading truck, but I use that on a regular basis. And when I do the rounds, when I go up to tank 3 and I go up to tank 1, those are long, dirt, bumpy roads, and I don't think a small car should be going up there. So in the future, when you do plan on replacing that, you may want to move forward with a Chevy Colorado type, one of those, you know, smaller trucks. And the same thing when you replace the Tundra, you could probably replace that with another Chevy Colorado as well.
Yeah, because that's what he drives.
Right. So because we purchased this vehicle here, which is going to be the big construction truck, so it's going to be fully equipped with all the generators and ditch pumps and everything on that. Fully, you know, the tools and everything. So whenever we roll up on a big job, that's going to be the main truck. Everybody else will have tools on there, but this will be the main construction truck. So in the future, when these vehicles need to be swapped out, just let you know what kind of mileage you have on there.
You're going to park all the vehicles at the new site?
No, they're parked here.
But we did
get a second voice down camera because we did have one incident where that one camera did not catch the person coming over. Uh-huh. He didn't take anything, but thank God. So when we seen that, when it didn't acknowledge him because he barely had his head sticking over where the camera could see him, it didn't yell at him. So I notified the alarm company. I told them I wanted another camera. They waived the installation fee, which was like $3,000, and they gave us an additional camera. So it has better coverage. That actually has better coverage than the first one that's installed.
Cool.
So I told Evelyn when that contract is up in 2 years, just get rid of that, save yourself some money, and just use the new one they installed. So that one's has more coverage on it.
Okay.
Okay. That's all I have, but I will tell you today that we had a grant-funded meeting that was canceled because they had a board meeting because they want to make adjustments to the safe and affordable funding and equity resilience. It's a lot of acronyms. So basically, the amendment is to adopt that would make Cabazon eligible. Currently, their programs are prioritizing districts that are failing or are at risk. Now, it kind of doesn't give them a whole lot of options. So what they're looking for to make an adjustment to their policy is looking for more flexibility and not being so rigid and using professional judgment to move projects forward and not just because they're not in compliance or violation issues. So they're going to be using aggression, aggregation of metrics or just a governance issue. There was one incident where a small water district had one well, did not have a board, and that well went out. 200 customers. Well, it just so happened the Golden State Water Company was a neighboring water district that provided them a connection. Now, the thing was, obviously it failed, but if they fixed it, now they're not in the category of failing. So how do you, so now they needed the flexibility portion to say, okay, this district needs grant funding because it failed. Look, but they fixed it. So that's where the moving part needs to be adjusted. So they had a board meeting today, and it did recognize that the first year they're going to change this alignment. I just wanted to give you the executive summary. So now the deputy director will have the flexibility to fund such projects. So now we're waiting for the direction of the director to provide a menu to the staff. It provides a direction per board's recommendations for the potential for failing or at risk or failing equivalent systems to be funded. So I know we applied for replace the whole Jensen area, all of Benita and all of Broadway. So that's $15 million. And because at that time we weren't considered failing or at risk, they said, you're moved to the back of the line. But now with this new change, we have another meeting coming back and we have all the documentations in place and we have a reputation of getting things done. So they have time frames where they have to get things done. So we'll find out moving forward if we're now at the head of the list, ready to go.
Get in there.
So cool.
It's good news. It's good news.
That's awesome.
That's good.
Yeah. And that is all I have for today.
Spectacular. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to public comments. Anybody?
I have a public comment.
You're not public.
I go out there, you know. I'm public now. No, I was just wondering, I was just going to ask Mike, who takes care of our property here?
Who takes care?
It looks like crap.
The?
You know, this dinosaur strip, you know, the grass is both the weeds and everything's crap. It looks like crap, this building does. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
I just wanted to take care of it.
Well, they have the land.
They don't do nothing.
The landscape, they emptied the trash cans. And
no, but this land right here, right outside that window. It's right in front of our building, you know, it's like, you know.
Well, there was a dead plant that we removed.
Public has spoken. Who does that? Is that the county? Or is that you guys?
The county.
But I never see them come over there and touch nothing over there. I've seen them. I sat there for an hour one time and watched them work. They never came close to the building there. I just wondered who takes care of it, you know. Like I see this, you know, cat that's right here, you know, all dead and shit.
I've been seeing it for I don't know how many days now.
Okay.
Well.
Now we move on to closed session. Thank you, Sarah.
Bye, guys.
All right, 7:04.